Welcome to the Foundry Church. You're about to hear a message from one of the team. We really pray this message makes a difference in your life. If you want to find out more about Jesus, church, or who we are, then visit our website www.thefoundry.org.uk after you've watched the message. Here we go!
Hi there, my name's Lois and I'm part of the team here at the Foundry Church, and at this point in our time at Church Online we spend about 15 minutes where we love to look at a part of the Bible and we love to talk about how it's relevant to us today and really think about what does it teach us about God. So this is my Bible, and the Bible we believe is the Word of God and from God to us. So it's like a manual, a memoir, a manuscript. It's jam-packed, full of stories and wisdom and life advice and great stuff like that. And a couple of years ago, when I first started preaching and sharing messages in church, I was doing my research, trying to learn the tricks of the trade kind of thing and learning some hints and tips about how you go about putting together a message to share. And one of the lessons that I picked up on from hearing some great preachers was that if you choose a story from the Bible that's really long, then you'll be fine because you can spend most of your time reading the Bible story. And also you'll have loads that you can learn from and think about. So there I was, preparing for this message today, and I'm asking God, what juicy, jam-packed, super long story shall I share with your church? Like, the longer the better the story. So I'm talking to God and I feel like he prompts me to look at a book in the Bible called John, which is one of the Gospels. And I feel to just go to chapter 11. And I'm turning there in my Bible and I'm thinking, yeah, this is going to be a great long story that we can really delve into. And then God's like, yeah, let's look at verse 35. So John 11, 35, and I flick there and I'm so excited to see what big story God wants to share with us all. And as I find the verse, this is the entire passage that I believe God wants to share with us today. Get ready. It's a long one. John 11, 35 says this: Jesus wept. And that's it. The shortest verse in the entire Bible. Now, I'm not one to tell God that he's got it wrong, of course, but I was like, surely, God, in this entire Bible, you've got more for me and more for your people listening today than two words. But no. So I'm reading and I'm rereading and I'm checking the different translations, because often we can expand our learning of God and of the Bible by looking at other translations and versions of the text and seeing how it's been worded. And here's what that looked like. There's only so many different ways that you can say Jesus wept. Every translation seems to say it pretty similar. But then I started to think, isn't that just us all over? I know it's me all over, where I'm often found wanting God to do these mighty miracles. I'm waiting for some divine inspiration, for a message written in the stars, a really long revelation. And actually, God often speaks to us in the simple, short, everyday whisper of just two words. Jesus wept. And so these two words, short as they are, simple as they are, have so much depth and truth to tell us today. So before I start, let me pray for you and for us as we steady our hearts to listen to the voice of God. Jesus, I thank you for your tears. May they transform us as we get to know what they really meant. Amen. So what can we learn from those two words, Jesus wept? Well, I think that Jesus's tears show us the heart, the honesty, and the hope of God. So let me set the scene for you in this text. There's a family and there's three siblings that we hear about. There's Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And John goes out of his way in this Bible passage, but a little bit before in chapter 11, verse 5. And he goes out of his way to tell us that this family and Jesus are tight. Jesus loved them. He literally loved them. They were really good friends. And sadly, Lazarus dies. And after being away from them for some time, Jesus arrives home and he encounters Mary, who falls at Jesus' feet. And her grief and her anguish and her pain comes pouring out. And she's saying, Jesus, if you were here, this wouldn't have happened, but now my brother is gone. And Jesus looks at Mary in her tears and grief, and he is deeply moved, shuddering with emotion and compassion. And then later, Jesus goes to the tomb where they've buried Lazarus's body, and it's there that Jesus begins to weep. You know, when you love someone and you care about them, when they experience sadness or loss or pain, you can't help but be moved. That's what compassion is. It's to suffer alongside someone in their pain. And Jesus loved Martha, and he loved Mary, and he loved Lazarus. And when he came face to face with their loss, with the pain of losing his friend Lazarus, and with the grief that Mary faced as she wept at his knees, he wept. And I know that many of you are in a season of great pain. Maybe you're grieving the loss of loved ones, or the loss of life as you knew it, or the loss of school or employment. Jesus weeps with you. In your disappointment, in your frustration and your confusion, Jesus weeps with you. Psalm 56, verse 8 in the Bible tells us that God catches every tear that we cry, and he bottles them up. And you know, when we're in a place of pain or sadness or grief, God doesn't back off. He comes close, promising to be right with us, never leaving us. Instead, he kneels down and catches our tears, weeping with us. And I reckon Jesus would probably look at the state of the world right now, and he would take one look at the news headlines, at the destruction, at the injustice, at the suffering, at the inequality, and he would weep for his world, the world that he so loves. Why would Jesus weep? Of all people, why would Jesus weep because of my suffering, because of our suffering? Well, Jesus took up his place on earth as a human. He was fully human, but he was fully God. And the heart of God is one that cares and deeply, deeply loves. He cares about you so deeply. He knows exactly what you're facing, and he weeps with you. He knows the dreams that have died in your heart this year because of how badly affected you've been by this pandemic. He knows the amount of tears you have cried and the nights where you've tossed and you've turned. He knows the days where you felt like there's no reason to get up. He knows the days where you've questioned what the point is. He knows the trauma you've experienced and the battles you are facing. And because he cares about you, because he cares about me more than I could ever even try to wrap my head around, he weeps with us. He sits side by side with us in our pain and weeps. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. And so with every loss you experience, with every disappointment you face, and every hurdle thrown your way, every tough day that you endure, and every tear you cry, Jesus weeps with you. That's the heart of God. All loving, all knowing, all caring. So Jesus' tears, they show us his heart and his heart for us. And then secondly, Jesus' tears reveal his honesty. Now, I just love that Jesus wasn't afraid to let his tears flow. In fact, the more and more that you read about Jesus, the more you realize he was never afraid to show his emotions. He never tried to hide how he felt. When he was moved, he was moved. And when he was sad, he cried. And when he was angry, he got angry. Jesus never tried to be someone that he wasn't. He never tried to hide his emotions. He never thought it was unmanly to cry. He allowed himself to feel his feelings and to be honest with them. And that tells me that Jesus is not afraid of my tears or my fears. He's not afraid of me expressing and processing my emotions with him, even if they ain't that pretty. Jesus was honest about how he felt, and he allows us to be too. In fact, he invites us to be too. When I was in high school, a few of my friends called me the ice queen. I'd got a bit of a reputation for just never crying. It didn't matter what the drama was, what the breakups were, what the fallouts were. I just never cried. Now, it wasn't that I didn't feel things or that I didn't have like working tear ducts, because once I got hit on the nose by a rounders ball. And I don't know if you've ever been hit on the nose by a rounders ball, but you probably will cry. So I knew it was possible for me to cry, but I just think I had this association between showing my real emotions, meaning that it was like a sign of weakness. Now, I don't know what's happened between then and now, because I'm 28 now, and I cry all the time. A good documentary, I'll cry. A nice story, I'll cry. Watching Say Yes to the Dress, I'll cry. My favourite songs, I'll cry. Show me a picture of a puppy, I'll probably cry. A letter in the post, that gets me every time, I will probably cry. I just can't help it. But the good thing is, I don't need to worry. Because Jesus' honesty in how he could just let his tears flow and express how he feels, I know that that means he's okay with me bringing my tears and my fears to him. And I know that when it comes to the real stuff, the real life gritty emotions, it can actually be really hard to allow ourselves to really come face to face with those emotions. I know that being honest with how we are actually doing and not just saying how we think we should feel, that can be really daunting. Perhaps confronting your tears and fears and bringing them to Jesus is scary because you feel like you've got a reputation to uphold, a business to keep running. Maybe you're trying to hold things together for your family. Or maybe like I used to, you associate expressing emotion with weakness. Or maybe you're scared of what will unravel if you let someone know how you really are doing. Jesus was really honest about how he felt. And that Jesus is a safe place for us to bring our tears, our fears, and everything in between. He invites us to bring them to him. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, give your worries to God because he cares about you. That's an invitation to be real with how you feel to Jesus. He doesn't require a polished, finished, stiff upper lip version of you. He wants you. Warts and all, tears, fears, doubts, emotions. He wants the real you. He's a safe place to bring your tears and your fears. And hey, if Jesus models that to us, then friends, we can model that to our people too. Imagine if we became a safe place for people to bring their honest emotions to us. And imagine if our homes were a place where everybody knew they could be honest about how they were doing and how they were feeling, and they could bring their tears and their fears and their laughter to the table, where we would listen and love and pass a tissue when it's needed. So maybe this year is a year for you to learn that Jesus isn't afraid or put off by your tears. He doesn't want you to brush things under the carpet and just say, I'm fine. Jesus wants your honest heart, whatever that looks like, and wherever you find yourself at. And then lastly, Jesus' tears, when Jesus wept, they show me hope. You see, when it comes to Lazarus' death, Jesus knew that this was just a fraction of the story. If you read on in this passage, you will read about one of the most insane, jaw-dropping miracles that Jesus performs. Jesus went to Lazarus' tomb, and he brought Lazarus back to life. Jesus, through his tears and weeping, he had hope because he knew that there was more for Lazarus, more life to be lived, more stories to be told, more joy to be had. Jesus knew that there was more. And so even through his tears, he had reason to hope. A guy called Chris Durso, who's a church leader and an author, says this. He says, it is possible to be both heartbroken and full of hope at the same time. Now, it took me ages to get my head around this. It is possible to be totally heartbroken and yet remain full of hope. Heartbreak and hope can coexist. And that's what happened in Jesus' tears. Heartbreak and hope manifested. They collided. The presence of your pain does not have to mean the absence of your hope. We can be completely heartbroken at death rates, injustice, the terrorism we're seeing, restrictions, miscarriages, diagnoses. We can be fed up by lockdown, by pandemics, but still be full of hope at the same time. Yes, we are in this weird stalemate place of life where our worlds suddenly got really small. We're not allowed to see other people, where school is different, where we see the same four walls, where we can't travel or experience things, where things are cancelled left, right and centre, and plans are on pause, and things seem so frustrating and grueling and honestly heartbreaking. But Jesus weeps with hope, knowing that this, it's part of a bigger picture. This moment in time that we are in is not forever. This is a fraction of the story. There is more to come. There is more life to be lived, more stories to be told, more adventures to be had, more laughter, more joy on the horizon, because Jesus, this Jesus who weeps for us, he is a miracle worker, and he can breathe new life into dreams and desires that maybe have gone dormant. He can resurrect faith that has dwindled. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 says that his power in us is able to do so much more than we could ever ask or even think of. He is the God not just of enough, but more than enough. He can do more than we ask or imagine. And I believe with all of my heart that he has more for each of us. More than this moment of history, he has a future. And so we hope, through tears, for more, for the kingdom of heaven to touch earth. We hope for miracles. Jesus wept, and those weeping tears show us the heart, the honesty, and the hope of God. We see the heart that sees your pain, sees the mess around us, and weeps alongside us, never leaving you alone, but catching every tear. We see the honesty that gives us permission to bring our real, raw emotions to him. And we see the hope that allows us to believe that there is more, the hope that can exist even in your heartbreak. As Psalm 30 verse 5 says, weeping may endure for the night, and I know that it's been one long, long night. But the verse goes on to say that joy will come in the morning. Hold on to that promise today that with Jesus, through tears and weeping and heartbreak, joy is on the horizon. One of our team is going to invite you now to accept that joy, that hope, and that love of Jesus into your heart.